Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. I feel like I've calmed down since last week.
You sure?
I don't know.
Okay, but we'll see. We'll see, yeah. Because
I was watching Raw this week and I was like, I'm really upset about this.
It's like Raw this week was trying, I guess. Really, they were desperately trying to compete with Monday Night Football slash the Star Wars trailer.
Here's the thing. I feel like each week I see something and I want to come on the podcast and be like, this is it. This is the structural flaw,
right,
in WWE's storytelling or in their build or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously not any one thing. It's several things.
Right.
But it's in addition to, by and large, being fundamentally broken, it is also several small things from, like, that is a individual standalone thing that could be fixed.
Right.
Like for this week, for example, when Ric Flair came out and he's going to announce who's going to partner with Dean Ambrose in the main event.
Right.
And it's like, oh, what's the build up? Who could it possibly be? Like, it's Roman Reigns.
Right.
But it's got to be somebody who's big and tough. It's Roman Reigns. Say Roman Reigns.
Yeah, so
it's got to be somebody who's one of my favorites.
And that's the thing. Like, Reigns. That was the segment that was pretty much directly up against the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that and it was around the same time that Seth was like, sure, I'll join him. But it's not a reunion. He said that a billion times. Mm-hmm. It's not a reunion, so that way whenever the reunion does happen, he'll be like, it's the first time ever, and we'll be like, no, it's not.
Here's the thing. Could they have not just done the triple powerbomb one time?
Right.
Like,
just for nostalgia's sake.
Here's the thing. They did it when they had the
match Fatal 4-Way
with Randy Orton.
With those three and Randy, yeah.
And it had the prettiest crowd pop.
Sure.
That you'd heard in such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that would have gotten the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And then you go about your way, and 8 months to a year later, you do it again, just one time.
Yeah.
And you can do that, you know, Shades of the Shield kind of thing for years.
Mm-hmm.
Before you, and obviously,
before you actually pull the trigger, yeah.
You actually have to pull them back together. Like, that has to happen. Come on, you guys.
Right.
But it's just,
but it's just like, oh, we remember when everyone was really excited about the Wyatts versus Shield. Let's do it again, and for some reason not have Luke Harper.
That was,
and completely unannounced Eric Rowan coming back as if it's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they talked about it. It's like, he's been gone for a while. Where has he been? Mm-hmm. Let's not worry about that and just go on about our business.
So they announced something during the, they were like working on the build up to this.
Okay.
They said on the show that this feud between Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt has been going on for 5 months.
Sure has.
5 months.
Yep.
And so here's the thing. Barring some sort of injury or somebody walking away from the company or something, what you saw on the main event this week is, by and large, is a good chunk of your main event for the next 4 to 6 years.
Right.
And so your two big guys on each side have been going at each other for 5 months.
After the Bray and Dean feud that it didn't go on as long, but it felt like it did.
I mean, it's obviously way too early to say, like, this is clearly the Randy and John Cena of the new generation.
Right.
But, like,
but it seems like every former member of the Shield is going to have an extended feud with Bray Wyatt.
Well, it's,
and they're going to do it pretty much soon.
See, I'm not even so worried about that. I'm genuinely looking at specifically because they have made no bones about Randy or Roman Reigns is our guy. Roman Reigns is the next face of the company, and you took it from me when it was supposed to happen, and it will happen again.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. And so, if they are so set on they need that John Cena, that Hulk Hogan lead figure, then obviously they're going to be set on, they need that bad guy.
Yeah.
They need the top heel that he goes up against time and time again, because it's always a marquee match. It's always a moneymaker. And we go, no.
Right.
No, not again.
Right. Because really, aside from like that one match that ended Raw a few weeks back, other than that, it's... there hasn't really been like a standout moment where like that's gonna make me excited to see this feud continue. It just doesn't have that.
Part of the thing is,
initially we got excited because hey, oh look, they're doing something with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
it's not a great starting point.
No, it's not. It's nothing in this. It's been 5 months, as you so pointed out.
Yeah,
it has been 5 months, and there is nothing about this feud where you're like, that is going to go in the highlight reel when this guy gets inducted.
Yeah.
And just, that's, you know, I really like both of these guys, and I want great things for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried, like this is a fast way to kill it.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, this week on Raw just seemed really odd for a variety of reasons. Sure, like, yeah, it was... you know, the obvious trying to reach as many people as possible with all of the Hall of Famers and everything.
Yeah.
Even though as it was pretty much pointless, but that's besides the point. But then, like, yeah, like the inexplicable, like, Randy Orton's not here. And we don't really know why, but he's not here. Luke Harper's not here. We don't know why. Eric Rowan is here. We don't know why.
And see, here's the thing. Like,
it just seemed odd that
each one of those things, I feel like, could be a, geez, I need to tune in to see
find out what happened. Yeah,
but part of it is I don't trust WWE to follow through with a storyline anymore. But part of it is they didn't set it up like, oh, you better tune in to find out.
Right.
And that's like, yeah, we're all supposed to, you know, pretend that it's unscripted and anything could happen. And when, you know, they, you know, people know what's going to happen before it happens. But, we're, you know, we're supposed to pretend. And, but still, there is like, there are clear indicators that you make of like, this is an important note that somebody said. This is going to lead to a feud or... you know, we're mentioning this guy's absence, so you're aware of it, because you need to be on the lookout for when this pays off later in the show or next week.
Which is another thing that was odd, was there was no, like, follow-up with Corporate King being suspended.
Right.
And when they announced it, I was like, okay, so Demon Kane's going to do a run-in later in the show or something, and it just never happened. You know, and it's one thing, yes, I don't like it to be predictable like that, so the fact that they didn't do it is fine. But at the same time, I also do like it when they follow through with some sort of storyline. Unless they're going to address it at Hell in a Cell.
When I say I want Raw to be unpredictable, because I do, I want it to be unpredictable.
Right.
That there is a difference between, holy crap, I never saw that coming, which is what I want, and, I didn't expect that.
Right.
I would not have predicted that. Yes, technically that does fulfill the dictionary definition of unpredictable.
Right.
But clearly that's not what I'm asking for.
Right, yeah.
And that's kind of weird. Is like, and obviously, Kane and Seth won't be the main event.
Right.
Which, you know, is basically the worst travesty since, or even worse than. Not really, not going to say it.
Come on, you know you want to open up that can of worms again.
No, Brock and Taker, well, yeah, obviously.
Not clearly, sure.
But still, this is the title match. Somebody's career is on the line, and it feels like they're just...
it didn't seem like that big of a deal at the go-home show.
It feels like this match is there because they have to have a title match.
Right.
Which, like, that's why they have, you know, a U.S. title match on Night of Champions, because they have to. Like, it feels like it's being treated with that same amount of gravitas.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it's, you know, your main title, you know, theoretically your always main eventing title, somebody's job is on the line. It's a, you know, loser leaves town match. And obviously, you know, such and such will happen for such and such reasons.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really feel like they're forgetting about it. And
right. Part, and we know that they're not, because it's a freaking championship match. But at the same time, it's like...
But part of it is also like, they have two Hell in a Cell matches. Right. And they're giving it to Roman and Bray.
Two non-title matches.
Which, I mean...
Which is fine, because in both instances they've stressed that this is the end of those storylines.
Yeah, and I
get that, and that's kind of been your staple with Hell in a Cell. It should be like the end all be all for a feud. Like that's where it ends.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Sure.
This is sense. And that's been my complaint against Hell in a Cell being a pay per view gimmick and not a
storyline. Yeah.
Gimmick. Yeah. And so, which, because we do get matches that don't, and that's the thing is like, Kane versus Seth, it doesn't really deserve a Hell in a Cell thing, but it's the title match, and
it's Kane, Hell,
yeah,
you know.
And part of it is like, yeah, there's ways that I feel about how Hell in a Hell should be treated.
Yeah.
But over the past years, the WWE has made it abundantly clear how they feel Hell in a Cell is treated. And it goes to your biggest matches, regardless of storyline.
Sure.
And the title is not one of the biggest matches. And it just is... Okay, so is this the beginning of Roman going on... Roman being more important than the title, the way John Cena was more important than the title?
Well, no. Because if... Well, for... Okay, because for...
But here's the thing. I don't know
because if... Because first of all... They're not going to have two Hell in a Cell matches back to back.
Right.
So that clearly means Bray versus Roman's probably going to go on earlier in the show.
Okay, so well, here's the question.
So
then.
He's not going to be...
At Hell in a Cell, is it more gravitas to go on later in the card, or is it more gravitas to go in the Cell?
I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a... case by case thing, really. In this instance, maybe.
Which do you think CM Punk would rather do?
Probably the championship match.
Well, go on later on the card, or go in this.
Oh, go on later on the card every time. Yeah.
So, I mean, because that's part of the thing, and you know. And part of that is, you know, when you have two Cell matches, and obviously, yeah, the Cell matches don't go back-to-back.
Right.
So so there is, you know, there is always that little bit of, like, the card is not a clear build because you have a, you know, your third biggest match goes on first.
Right.
And then your second biggest match doesn't go on next last, so you have your cooldown match in between.
Right.
I will say, and I went to... take a tremendous amount of salt with this.
Okay.
But in regards to Boogstrumen, this is how I would like to see monster builds done.
Right.
Like
we go up against legitimate guys. Well,
first of all, he's not taking the required 3-month feud with Heath Slater to win every week.
Yeah, crushing nobodies.
He's you know, the guys he's facing are getting legitimate offense. Because that's the thing. Is like, even Kali went up against guys pretty, you know, pretty big guys pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't get any offense on it.
Right.
And we later figured out that's because Kali can't take offense.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the thing is, like you know, Borgen Storgen takes offense.
Right.
He just doesn't fall down.
Yeah, and that's pretty much his thing, is he just doesn't fall down.
I,
but at the same time, he's not trying to do too much. And we
he's
know,
not.
And as we know, he, like, ability-wise, he's probably limited this early on in his...
Right, that's the thing. It's like, I don't want this to come across as like, they
that
are...
That this is a big, you know, ringing endorsement or anything.
Yeah, because I still genuinely know pretty much nothing about his in-ring ability.
Right.
Or his, you know, ability to carry a feud on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Or even to, like, you know... really add to a match.
Yeah.
Other
than just being the large imposing guy.
But that's...
That doesn't fall down.
But that's how you do it. Like, that's the thing. Is like, because I, you know, I said it plenty of times on this. I'm done with monster builds. You do it wrong every time, and it sucks, and I hate it, and it's the worst, you know, segment of the show on a weekly basis. And they're they're building this guy like a monster. And, like, you know, when he steps in the ring, it's like this, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Feeling that's starting to come along with him. And it helps that he is in tag matches always.
Right.
Because if there is...
It limits, you know, him exposing his, you know, lack of experience.
It does. It also lets somebody else take the super finisher moves.
Right.
So you don't have to, like... You don't have to bury somebody else's finisher move to keep this guy...
Higher up,
legitimate.
Yeah.
And then, and honestly, just the he doesn't fall down. Like, I think this was the first week he fell down at all, and that was when Roman took out the whole family.
Right.
But that's just, it's, this is how you do it. Like, that's the thing. And it's like, and I'm scared that I'm like, this is how you do it. And then, like, 2 weeks later, it's like, it monster build for this guy? Okay.
Right.
Let's bring out Heath Slater.
Right. And he's left the Wyatt family, and now he's just beating up jobbers. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but like it's a very, I'm hesitant to even call it praise, but it's just like acknowledgement of this is how you do it.
Right.
The work with the kendo stick, Dean makes him look good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's, and I'm sure he is limited in his wrestling ability.
Right.
For one, he's a big guy, and you're basically either Brock Lesnar or you have limited mobility if you're a big guy.
Yeah.
Like, there's rare exceptions, and I don't think he's one. But it's I think it's really good and really strong. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to call out great things for his future, but.
But it's. It's a good start.
It shows monster builds can be done right. It's right. Not the concept of let's build this guy like a monster is not inherently stupid in and of itself. It's just always done stupidly.
Right.
But the idea of building a guy as a scary, unstoppable monster in the ring is not a dumb idea and can work really well. But there's a way to do it, and it's not the easy, lazy way that is always taken.
Right.
So I'm glad they're not doing that this
no,
time.
No,
so
I feel the same way. Yes.
Good things said about Raw booking.
Congratulations, Joel. You finally got one out. I guess with that note, we should go ahead and dive into the Hell in the Cell card.
Yeah, let's do that.
Maybe I'm just not paying attention to Raw or whatever, but originally it was supposed to be Seth Rollins, or not Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton against
the other Wyatts.
Other Wyatts. Wasn't that supposed to happen at the pay-per-view?
I thought so.
It's not listed at all. I mean, maybe they took it down with because... all the weird mixing and matching of...
Okay, have you heard any, like, legitimate stuff about Randy getting injured or anything?
I had no idea he wasn't even going to be there.
So, maybe that's it, but...
I don't know. Well, we don't have to predict it, so that's one less thing that we got to worry about. We'll start with the pre-show match, a six-man tag team match between Ziggler, Cesaro, Neville versus Rusev, Sheamus, and King Barrett.
I always predict against Sheamus.
And for Dolph Ziggler, so that works for you.
For Ziggler against Sheamus, it's a pre-show match, so I'm going to predict the faces.
So who cares? Yeah.
So, this is another thing I don't like.
Yeah?
Well, and I think I've already covered this.
Well, yeah.
But, like, just the general, like... Mad Lib style booking of six-man tag things, and I'm really a six-man tag match should be used for very special occasions, because that is six dudes in the ring.
Right.
I mean, a tag team, you know, a tag team matchup crowds the ring just fine.
Sure.
So when you start doing tag team triple threats and you start doing tag team fatal four ways or six-man tag team things, like, it gets crowded.
Right.
And there's a place for it. Because they did it...
It's called the WrestleMania pre-show.
Well, okay, fair enough. No, like the thing that they did on the Monday... on Monday's main event, where, like, Dean Ambrose was in the ring.
Right.
And Roman Reigns was there, and Seth Rollins was there, and he clearly, like, there's a story, and why would he tag this guy? And, like, that's fine, and that's great, and you can only really do that in a, you know, six-man tag team. Great, perfect. But it feels like they're using the six-man tag team thing to get people's names on the card.
Yeah.
This is just three random guys versus three random guys.
Just so, like, the internet won't yell at them for not putting Cesaro on another pay-per-view.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I feel like this isn't any better.
No, it's not.
So.
He's still not technically on it.
He's not technically on it. He has to share the ring time.
Yeah.
With five other guys instead of one other guy. He's not going to get, you know, he's not going to get to show the up and down and back and forth of a ring psychology match that he should be able to.
Right.
And I'm really scared because New Day's a big hit, and I love New Day, and I don't want to say bad things, but New Day's a big hit, and The Shield was a big hit, and Wyatt Family's being a big hit, and I'm scared they're going to look at everybody like, tag teams are out. Three-man teams are in.
Right. All right. So we're all going with the same team.
Same face team. Face team.
Okay. We'll go with the open challenge for John Cena versus whomever.
So the guess is, does John Cena win?
I suppose so, because, I mean, obviously we're not going to sit here and give out points for, or take away points for people that...
for not guessing the person right. Mystery entrant.
It sounds like John Cena is going to take a decent amount of time off after this night.
Yeah.
After Hell in a Cell. I don't know exactly what that's going to mean for the U.S. Championship. So I'm hearing, like, maybe not quite 2 months, but close.
Right.
Like, 6 weeks, maybe.
So it's the amount of time where, like, if Daniel Bryan had the title, they would make him give it up.
Right.
But if John Cena has the title...
They'll ignore that 30-day rule.
Right.
For that. I don't know. What are you going to predict?
I don't know.
Dang it.
I will...
These are all lovely podcasting noises.
I will go... Cena losing the title.
Okay. And that's the point part. Yeah. That's the part we're actually going to be awarding points.
But because, like, I was like, how would I... The way I would book it is a face comes out, fights Cena, does dirty heel tactics, basically turns heel to win the title.
And that'll set up something for John Cena to do whenever.
Can injure Cena, comes out on Monday, has promo material to justify why it was worth it. And then Cena can come back, and Cena has a ready-made feud. So Cena doesn't have to give up the title cleanly, which, you know, he's allergic to.
Yeah. Definitely allergic to it.
Yes. So that's... I mean, how I would book it is Cena just loses cleanly to, like, Kevin Owens.
Right.
Like, he's supposed to.
Yeah, or just, you know... Like what we originally envisioned with the U.S. Open, just somebody comes out, like a newcomer or whatever, somebody from NXT, and just surprises the world and makes his career from that point.
Yeah. So I will go Cena loses.
Just because, I don't know, just for a little bit of dissension, I'm just going to say he wins.
All right, fair enough.
Now,
equally valid guess, absolutely. Feel like.
Now, for no extra points, who do you think is going to be the...
Here's the thing. I really feel like as soon as we hear music, we're going to know who won. We won't actually have to watch the
match. Absolutely.
As soon as I meet, we're like, oh, never mind.
If it's like... Because there's a lot of rumor going around that Tyler Breeze is going to be debuting on the main roster.
Yeah.
Their basis for this is because, hey, guys, Tyler Breeze has been on these live shows with Summer Rae. Yeah, he's been doing that for a while, actually. Like, he was doing that back when they were in Greensboro.
With Summer Rae.
With Summer Rae, yeah. Summer Rae was his his valet or whatever.
They're literally just redoing Fandango.
Yeah.
Oh, he deserves so much better than that.
I agree. And again, that may not be what exactly they're going towards.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think I've said it before. Like, I don't think Prince Pretty will work on the main roster. I think it's a Full Sail goggles.
Right. I want it to, sure. And
I want him to. I think he's amazing and great. I don't think the Prince Pretty thing is a standout star-making right. gimmick. And I don't know, like, I get the, like, you know, Gorgeous George may know where, like, I get, like, there's clearly,
right.
you know, plenty of guys who make the basically, this, you know, a very similar gimmick work.
Mm.
I don't know, it's not...
Right, and again, like, I, because that's, like, the hot thing for, that all, everyone online is talking about this past week was, Tyler Breeze, he might be on Raw, and he wasn't. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, no, like, of course he's not going, like, he's been on their live event schedule for a while now. This is nothing new. I don't understand why people are reacting to it. Like, it's going to be, like, a big thing. Like, it's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
But, whatever. I don't know. I'm not convinced Tyler Breeze is going to come in here.
Mm.
And if he does, there's no way in the world John Cena is going to lose to Prince Pretty.
No.
Because Prince Pretty has been just the NXT punching bag for the last three, four, probably.
He's NXT
more.
Ziggler now.
Right, absolutely.
So
I don't know. I think it's more likely that, like, Finn Balor comes out. And if that happens, they might have Finn Balor win.
Okay.
Or Samoa Joe.
That'd be nice.
That would be incredible. Because from the sounds of it, Samoa Joe and Cena were, like, friends back in OVW.
Yeah. So I mean,
that timeline could be completely wrong, and I could be full of crap, but that's just a story that I heard.
Still should have been Kevin Owens, but
sure,
we'll see. All right, what's next?
Next, we have the Intercontinental Championship, Kevin Owens versus Ryback.
Kevin Owens.
Yes, me as well. nothing really to say here. Ryback's pink getup looks stupid.
It's like,
so does Ryback wearing all of his merchandise.
I could see it being Ryback. That's stupid. It should be Kevin Owens.
Yep. Moving on. The tag team championship match, New Day versus Dudleys. They still haven't added a third Dudley, so I'm expecting shenanigans and New Day wins. Until they add a third Dudley,
I'm going
to pick New Day every time.
I'm going to pick New Day too, but I'm going to say, like, I think they are having, they're getting close to, like, an issue where, like, they brought the Dudleys back and told them they would be champions again.
But
and then New Day was New Day, and New Day's getting these reactions now, and it's like, oh.
Yeah. And we've already discussed this off air, but I'm absolutely getting the new shirt. Jonah's actually absolutely getting the new shirt. We just got to get Joel and Blair on board so we can get all four of us wearing that shirt together.
So I'll go New Day.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I really here's
and the, also here's also. Why is it that Xavier's the only one going through tables? Like, if you haven't noticed that, none of the other members of New Day have gone through a table.
Really?
At all. I've noticed it every single week. Yeah. And sure, it's like the, you know, the obnoxious loud guy that's blaring a horn the entire time is ultimately going to get the punishment. Sure.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I mean, New Day's still pretty basic. You got your flippy guy, your heavy guy, and your mouth.
Right.
And so, you know, the mouth is the one that can, you know, in this version, the mouth can take a bump, and that's who we really always want to see take a bump.
That was actually their original team name, Big Floppy Mouth.
Flippy?
Flippy Mouth, sure. Either way.
Nobody's floppy. Kofi's flippy.
Yeah, he could be a little floppy. So, yeah, we're both going New Day on that. Next, we have the World Heavyweight Championship match, Seth versus Kane. If Kane loses, Corbett Kane will be fired from being director of operations, even though he's currently suspended. So, Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Seth Rollins. I feel like they kind of, you know, pulled the trigger a little early with the whole, like, Corbett Kane can't do something, but Demon Kane can.
And honestly, that's what I was expecting with the suspension thing. Like, because they're like, Corporate Kane has been suspended. And I'm like, well, here comes Demon Kane.
Well, no, the thing is, like, when she said, like, if, you know, when she said, like, Corporate Kane will be fired, and I was like, oh, okay,
Demon Kane will still be on the roster.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, so they'll do that, and they'll make that reveal, you know, at Monday.
Right.
After the thing. But they've already done this, like, we're pretty clear that Corporate Kane and Demon Kane are being treated as two separate entities.
Right.
So, It's like, okay.
I mean, so really, like that's pretty much that's pretty much the best strategy you have if you're a WWE wrestler. If if kayfab be real, is have split personalities. So if you screw up one, you still got the other on the roster.
That's how Mick Foley got three entrants into a Royal Rumble. Absolutely. So
we're all saying Seth.
Yeah, Seth.
All right, Charlotte versus Nikki for the Divas Championship.
That's Charlotte.
Charlotte as well.
Yeah.
Hey, no real reason to talk about that, okay. Well, I guess.
Okay, for no points.
Okay.
Will Ric Flair come out and celebrate again?
No. No. I mean, Ric Flair, he just came out to, you know, tell everyone Roman Reigns, love it or learn to live with it.
Well, she hasn't won a title without Ric Flair celebrating with her.
Well, she already has the title though.
Okay, so defending.
Yeah, defending
Ric Flair won't come out.
Defending, who cares?
you have to lose it and then win it again for the Ric Flair.
Right, absolutely. Fatherhood only kicks in when you're winning something new.
Okay.
Next we have the Hell in a Cell match: Roman versus Bray. I'm guessing Roman.
Yeah, I was gonna.
Although
go Roman
it would
too.
Be great for Bray to win this. But you do have that feeling.
You got
to
make Roman look strong, though.
Right. You get a feeling that they're really trying to rebuild Roman leading up to WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
And I believe this is where it starts.
Yeah.
Not happy about it. We're still not happy about it. And, yeah, sure, they've done better with Roman this year than they did last year. But
You can't do it at WrestleMania, you guys. I'm sorry.
No.
You can't.
They've ruined that for a little while.
They've ruined that for forever. Roman cannot win his first title at WrestleMania.
No, well, okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm just saying, like, Roman, like, main eventing at some point again in his career. It's going
to
happen.
Oh, no, he will definitely main event WrestleMania at some point, and he will probably be fine, but he needs to have other WrestleMania matches.
And he needs to win his first mid-card, smaller.
And he needs to win his first title not at WrestleMania. Maybe not at the Big Four.
Right. So, TLC?
Yeah, no, TLC, fine. He should, if he has the title at TLC, great booking.
Sure. So we're both saying Roman?
Yeah, Roman.
Okay, moving on to the Hell in a Cell match between Taker versus Brock Lesnar. Since it is the last one, I'm saying Brock.
Okay.
Since this is the ultimate, like, final thing.
Okay.
Or at least they tell us that.
Yeah.
They also told us once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime, and I think John Cena and Randy Orton's last match ever was in 2009.
Yeah, and we had, like, two feuds since then.
Two full-out feuds, and then several just, like, main events on Raw.
Right.
It's gonna be those guys.
And expect us to get excited about it.
Yeah.
So, Brock wins clean, though, right?
Part of it is, though, is what else do you do with The Undertaker now?
Well, I'm assuming this will be it before WrestleMania for him.
Oh, yeah, I think this will be it before WrestleMania. But, like, Undertaker, story-wise, because of Undertaker's, you know, rare appearances and stuff, has had, in the past 2 years, has only won one match.
Right.
And he won one, but it was dirty, and we all know it, and it doesn't, you know...
Right.
Dirty wins don't make the character look any stronger.
No.
All
it does is create a rematch.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're kind of at this thing is where you now have the Undertaker very clearly at a status where he can beat everybody on the roster but Brock.
Right.
And so, who would Undertaker want to face at WrestleMania? Other than Brock.
I don't know. I honestly don't know, because Brock was my pick when we, you know, were predicting it way back in April or March.
Yeah,
April. So, I don't know.
Because I can see a, you know, a this is the final time Brock wins, we go to WrestleMania, and it's like, okay, this is really the final time.
Right, and I could see that happening.
And
as
Undertaker
well.
Wins that one, because that's WrestleMania, and Undertaker WrestleMania magic pulls through. And
then we'll get another, like, Brock was like, no, I need to win the last one or something like that.
Well, see, I think Brock would be fine with losing if he got paid enough.
Yeah, you're right.
But at the same time, we've always heard that Undertaker was really pretty adamant on, you know, how the business works, and you go out on your back, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, I am going Brock. I don't know if I've said that explicitly on the podcast. Yeah. I'm picking Brock.
As am I.
I don't know
exactly how.
It sounds almost silly to say, but like, if Undertaker... It's not how do you build Undertaker as a credible threat, because he clearly still is, but it's how do you build another feud that's interesting? Because, like, all fairness, the whole Bray Wyatt thing wasn't that interesting.
Well, and that was also because it was a very one-sided feud.
It was a very one-sided feud. And there was a little bit of, like, you know, oh, the streak has been broken. They could pull the trigger.
Right.
But you didn't really, like we weren't going 50-50 on that one.
Right.
There was, like, a 5% chance they might pull the trigger, you know, because the streak has been broken.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay. but I mean, and I think it's possible. I think Cena is still a very valid, like, we could build Cena up properly.
Yeah.
And have a good.
Yeah. Cause we still have yet to get a Cena versus Undertaker.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania. So, yeah.
We'll see.
Sure.
We'll see. And, you know, and if this is it, Tunless is a pretty good place for Undertaker to go out. Like, he has the WrestleMania mystique, but he also has the Hell in a Cell mystique.
Sure, absolutely.
Like, let's not, you know, Taker was in the first.
He was in the first one,
he was in the second one, he's in the most memorable one.
Right.
You know?
And he's been in that match the most.
It's also called Hell in a Cell, and he's the Undertaker, like,
mm-hmm.
There's clear connection there, so.
Yep, he and Cells are
going one, you know, on one. Doing that right there.
Yep, absolutely.
That's a reasonable way to you know, end the character.
Sure.
So. All right. Is that it?
Pretty much, I think. I don't really have any. I don't know. I feel like there's something. I just can't think of it right now.
Okay.
If not, we'll swing around.
All right. What's making you happy?
Well, I mean, do we really even have to.
So, you guys.
So, okay. Here's where we rename the segment from What's Making Us Happy to Hey, you guys. Star Wars.
Star Wars, y'all.
because as we mentioned, you know, Raw was trying really hard to match up with a Star Wars trailer. Not, you know, anything beyond that, but just a trailer at halftime at Monday Night Football between... It wasn't a great game. I wasn't
Star
expecting
Wars.
Yeah, who cares? It's Star Wars.
Star Wars, y'all.
It was just a weird, like, jock-nerd overlap Venn diagram.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, is like so I watched it.
Yeah.
I cried. I watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't cry, but I choked up again.
Of course.
Framed it.
Okay, because I've yet to get your frame-by-frame analysis. And, you know, if you listen to this podcast for more than 5 episodes, you know this is a big deal for us.
Yeah.
And this was going to happen, so go on.
Not necessarily
frame-by-frame, but, like, the major points that stood out to you.
Okay,
Also, if you're trying to stay away from the trailer for some dumb reason.
Oh, yeah, that's fair, because I know that some people are like...
I hate that, but because my roommate's one of them. Our friend John was one of them, but he caved and watched it anyway.
Of course he did.
And that's what I told him. Like, he texted me, he's like, I broke my rule and I watched it. And I was like, of course you did, it's Star Wars.
Here's the thing. If you have decided to sequester yourself from it...
If you want to watch it as we're talking about it, hit play now.
you're, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to talk about it now.
Okay.
Part of it is like, this is how all trailers should be. Because you know what? You don't know what this movie's about.
No.
You kind of do. You maybe know something. You think you do.
Right.
But you don't know what this movie's about. I don't know what this movie's about.
No, me neither. They've done such an incredible job of holding true to the secrecy behind it.
I mean, this is how trailers should be, like, all mm-hmm. trailers. And that's part of the problem is, like, you can go and watch, like, the Avengers 2 trailer, and you're like, okay, so that's definitely the opening shot for
right.
drama. This is clearly, you know, part of the climax. Okay, they're sad there. I bet that happens at about an hour 15.
Right.
You know, like...
You can kind of pretty much guess how the movie's going to go.
Yeah, and like... But that's the thing is, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and the way they set up this one, you still don't technically who's a bad guy and if he's really all that bad or even if it's a guy.
Well, you know. Part of it is like, you know, this is written not by George Lucas.
Yes.
Um,
which is a plus.
that aside,
compared to the prequels.
Well, here's the thing. George Lucas, and I think people disagree with me, but they're all wrong, and I'm right. Because admittedly, George Lucas does not do great dialogue.
Sure.
But George Lucas is an amazing storyteller.
Sure.
An overarching, epic, six-part saga of a story. I mean, you take the stuff with Luke and Vader, surprise. But even...
still, his brain created a universe.
Even with the prequels, if, like, you were a child loving the crap out of... You know,
I was one of them. Yeah.
Of Star Wars through Jedi.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and somebody says, hey, in about five years,
right, okay,
they're going to make some more movies.
Right.
And you're going to cheer for the stormtroopers this time.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, liar, stop.
Right.
And this is what you did. And so, like, and it is complicated, but it's really good, intricate storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the story structure,
right,
that has been built by that one dude. This
sure
is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is some, like...
It's like, we're just going to sit here and play in the world that he created.
Well, some of it is like, how much...
Years later.
You're sitting there. I was joking with Chris earlier, and I was like, if somebody doesn't get an arm cut off in one of these next three movies...
Right.
This isn't a real Star Wars movie. And so that's obviously a joke, but like... That is part of it. Where
there's that, there's the Wilhelm scream, and then there's
Wilhelm's gonna be in there, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, and then there's at least one person saying, "I've got a bad feeling about
but
this."
But that's the thing, is like how much the screenwriter or the people who are making this movie and the next two, how important is it, quote unquote? How much they feel compelled that they do need to have somebody get an arm cut off? There's talk about like Han Solo is gonna be like the Obi-Wan character in this movie.
Right.
You know, because he's kind of guiding them through stuff.
Right.
Because
any time you see... A lot of times when you go back to some of the previous trailers or the behind-the-scenes stuff that they showed at Comic-Con, you see Han in one seat, and next time you see Rey, one of the younger main characters
in
this one.
So part of this is like... So Obi-Wan died in 4.
Yep.
And Qui-Gon died in 1, so like in the first movie, the mentor character dies.
Eats it, yeah.
And so, but is that like, is that a Star Wars trope? Do you have to put that in when you're building a Star Wars trilogy?
Right.
You know, and because somebody is different, George didn't have to feel tied to, we have to do this because it's Star Wars.
Sure.
Because he made Star Wars, so what? He can do what he wants. But there is like...
Mm-hmm. But at the same time...
Here's the thing. Back then, you know, you could... And so that's the thing. If people be like, that's not Star Wars. I'm like, I'm sorry, Star Wars, because George made it.
Sure.
Like, you might not be happy about it.
Sure.
But it is Star Wars. But this time around, you'd be like, that's not Star Wars. And you might be like, yeah.
Right.
It's not, because that's a different... He's a liar.
But it's also fair to point out that, yes, that happened in Episode 4. Qui-Gon in Episode 1, sure. Lawrence Kasdan did not write either of those.
Right, right, exactly.
He wrote...
That's totally fair.
He just wrote Empire, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Lawrence Kasdan is going to write this and the, I believe, the Han Solo...
The spinoff movie.
The spinoff, yeah.
Well...
The
isolated
movie,
some
yeah
things worth noting, I guess. One, the poster came out. The trailer came out. No Luke Skywalker.
No Luke Skywalker either.
We're maybe guessing that, you know, robot hand touching R2
is
Luke,
Luke
Skywalker.
Yeah. So technically we've seen him, but we're not sure.
You don't know that's Luke Skywalker. You
because
say it is.
Like we've said, a lot of people have gotten their arm cut off.
So there's other stuff worth noting.
There's a Death Star in the poster, or a new type of Death Star.
I really hope that's not a Death Star.
Honestly, I was just like, I was just like, that's just a really large thermal detonator.
Well, the thing is, like, look, go back and look at the picture, and if that's a Death Star, somebody was like, that original Death Star was almost perfect. We just needed a bigger trench for people to fly down,
right,
and a larger, you know, exhaust port for them to shoot down.
Sure.
Perfect.
Pretty much.
So I'm hoping it's not a Death Star.
For that reason, yes.
It's just, it's... I don't remember how much we delved into the last trailer that came out.
Mm.
But so much of it is the sound.
Yes.
The noises, the Foley, it sounds like Star Wars. The music
right
sounds like Star Wars. And that's kind of hard to explain because it's not music that I have heard before in other Star Wars movies. Because those things like Shadows of the Empire, these video games, sound like Star Wars because they're literally using Star Wars music.
Right.
This is new music that fits tonally with Star Wars.
Precisely. It feels fitting as a logical continuation of what was already established.
Yeah, there were a couple of shots that were really J.J. Abramsy.
Yes.
In the trailer.
I'm thinking of Rey talking to Harrison Ford with like some sort of hologram in between them. I was like, I don't remember that in the original Falcon, assuming you know they're in the Falcon.
Well, there's that. There's one lens flare, like one real big lens flare, and then I was like, okay.
It's like, there it is. All right, that better be the one.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
It's...
Although, there's a line in the trailer that they use, and it's Han speaking, where he's like, it all happened, the dark side, the Jedi, and everything. And the fact that it's Han saying that when he was like the main naysayer in Episode 4.
Hey. You remember when Han said, may the Force be with you?
Yeah.
And like, just, like, I'm still, like, yeah. Even now, I'm, like,
not right.
Chills and because Han said
and it. That, and again, like, that still gave me chills because I was, like, I remember, like, how much he just thought it was just crap.
Yeah.
In Episode 4. And now he's just, like, it all happened. I know it's basically, like, I know it sounds completely ridiculous, but it all happened.
My guess, honestly, if I were to guess on any sort of, like, plot aspect, clearly... When Luke was supposed to, you know, restore the Jedi Order and bring that back to its former glory, that didn't happen. Because these people don't know that Jedis and the Force exist and Dark Side exists.
Right.
And so, I think with the absence of Luke, I think it's very possible that we're going Luke hunting.
Right.
Gotta find Luke and figure out what
both good and bad, I would assume, are looking for. That's what I'm assuming. Like, basically, both sides are hunting for him.
I think this is going to be a movie with a lot of looking for something.
Sure.
And I don't know if, you know, and they might be looking for Luke. Mm-hmm. The other guys might be looking for...
And there's a thing where, you know, it's been said by many times by many, like, reputable people that are involved in the project that it feels like, you know, Kylo Ren is very much a Vader enthusiast.
Yeah.
Whether he's... There's speculation that they might be related in some way, either a grandkid or a... Or otherwise.
I think it's very possible he's just a guy.
Or he's just like, yeah, he's just a guy.
Super enamored with, like,
right. Because,
the concept of the Sith.
He's got the helmet. He's got that same. It's clearly a different person, a different person's voice, but it has that same, like, metallic trill to it.
Well, there's that.
And he doesn't need it because, you know, we've also seen photos of him without the helmet, but in costume and in character.
I mean, there's that one shot where he's facing. Towards the end of the thing where they're getting ready to lightsaber fight in the snow place.
Yes.
And he's pretty much dressed up like Episode 3 Anakin.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I saw the hair, yeah.
Yeah, with the hair and with the tunic.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how intentional that is, but I'm guessing most stuff is intentional here.
Right, yeah, absolutely. There's no coincidence that he's talking about, like, I will finish what you started, and then you cut to the burnout Vader helmet.
Yeah.
And if you get a close look at that Kylo Ren, it looked at least in that shot, before they cut to the Vader helmet, it looked kind of like more beat up,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of looked like it matched the burnt helmet a little bit more. So maybe, you know, he turned it into his helmet somehow. I don't know.
So anyway, go check out the trailer. Clearly you have. Because it was watched like 9 million times in the first 4 hours.
Right. So clearly you have, and plus you're still listening to us now.
Yeah.
We do need to plug some things.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and do mine first because it's something that I know you guys are probably sick of me talking about in What's Making Me Happy or whatever. The short film that I made is finished. It's done. It's put online. It's on the Irrelevant But Awesome YouTube channel. It's Relevant But Awesome, all one word, lowercase. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that really makes a difference.
Counts, but.
So go check that out. I'm sure we'll provide a link over on the blog spot. I put the link up on last week's Class of Ring Attire on Pulse. I'll do it again this week.
I gotta say, I was really good at it.
Yes, you were. You were really good in it. There was some things that you brought to the table that really enhanced the movie.
I thought so.
That's director Chris. Now, I'm taking my director hat off. Shut up. but it was a lot of fun. I'm proud of it. It's a silly half hour-ish movie that a lot of hard work was involved by a lot of people, and I'm very thankful for them, and I'm very thankful for, you know, our trashy brother, Jonah, who made the entire soundtrack. And I'll go ahead and just say it now, like, working on this, because I also edited it myself, so going through that whole process after shooting it, I immediately felt like just the burnout of it, and I'm sitting here editing, it's like, this is the dumbest thing, this is crap, this is a crap movie, and no one's ever gonna like it, and watching the rough cut without the music, it's just like, this is awful, this is why no one's gonna like this. But then the movie, or the music was added the day before it was put online, and I watched it then, and I'm like, it's great, I love it, it's it felt like a completely different movie. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm ever going to make a movie without Jonah ever again. Ever again. So right. Jonah, if you're listening, you have a job for life. As long as you're willing not to get paid anymore.
On my plugging end, I wrote a book.
Yeah, which you didn't tell anybody about.
I feel like I told Chris.
Nope.
I haven't said it on the podcast, though.
No.
I wrote it's a children's book. It just got published 2 days ago, I think, as of this recording. So probably a few more days within the past week.
Sure.
Depending on when you're listening to this, probably. So it's called Beware the Vampire. It's available for Kindle. You can go and check it out on Amazon. It's really short. Obviously it's for children. But it's goofy and it's silly and it's cute. I had my brother illustrated it, and so we're pretty pleased with the outcome.
Cool.
So yeah, go check that out.
I gotta say, I was really good in it. I don't know. I felt like that was the right thing to say. I'm not in the book, guys. It's okay. At least I don't think I am.
No, you're not in the book.
See, there you go. There's no need for a large hairy man in a vampire book for kids.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, your own Star Wars thoughts, send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow us. Easy way to follow... Wait, that's the Facebook stuff. We are also on iTunes.
There we go.
So you can... Easiest way to follow us there. You can just look us up, subscribe... Give us a rating of...
Line. 5 stars.
Or write a review. That stuff helps out the podcast.
If you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Now Facebook?
Yes.
My confidence is shaken.
Hospital.
Trash can. We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow us, easy way to follow the podcast, keep up with other random updates.
Yep.
Have you posted Take Your Taken on the Facebook page yet?
I'm not sure, but I will do that in conjunction with this podcast.
Yeah, so if he has not done that, he will. I will post a link to the book where you can order that.
Yep.
So just kind of easy way to keep up with all the things that we're doing.
Sounds good.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.